you just want to follow on, I'm going to read different scriptures, but we'll have them up here today as well. But I want to talk about this period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur called the 10 days of awe. Matter of fact, our kids, any kids need to go out? We'll let you, are you staying in today? Okay, awesome. But I want to talk about this period called the 10 days of awe, or it could be called the 10 days of repentance. And we'll look at that here in just a few minutes, but I want to title my message today, This Way Out, or A Way Out. How many believe that God provides a way of escape? Amen. God's got it covered, don't he? I don't say he's got an escape plan, because I don't believe the rapture is an escape clause. I believe the rapture is a reward for the believer. I believe that God honors that as we honor him. God gives us the victory. Amen. But this period between Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, we'll look at that next Wednesday as well if you want to be with us on Wednesday night service. But today I want to talk about this time period because I believe it's very significant and very there's some very keen things that we can learn about today as we look at this 10 days of repentance or 10 days of awe. It is said that the period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is known as the 10 days of repentance. And this name appears in sources from the land of Israel, including the Jerusalem Talmud. You see, the concept of these days as a special unit of time in the Jewish year dates at least to the 3rd century before Christ. Rabbi Johanan, who lived in the land of Israel during that period, describes his conception of divine judgment and inscription in this season. He says this, he says there are 3 books that are opened in heaven on Rosh Hashanah. We believe that there's some books that's going to be open, right? At the rapture of the church, right? Amen. And one of them is going to be the book of life. But there are 3 books, he says, that are open in heaven on Rosh Hashanah. Now understand, this is speaking from a Jewish understanding, but he says one of them is for the completely wicked. So not only is there a book of life for the believer, but there's a book of wickedness for the wicked people, or eternal damnation. He says one of them is for the completely wicked, one is for the completely righteous, and one of those is for those who are in between. We call them fence straddlers, right? We call them lukewarm believers. So maybe you can understand why the John the Revelator referred to this as he was speaking for the Lord about that lukewarm church in Laodicea. So there is this one for the wicked, one for the righteous completely, and one for the in-between believers, or the in-between righteous and wicked. He says the fate of those in-between is suspended until Yom Kippur. If they do well, they are inscribed in the book of life, but if not, in the book of death. So it is said that when Rosh Hashanah takes place, the 10 days of awe or repentance begins. If your name is found in the completely righteous, then you're secured for another year. If your name is found in the book of wicked, then you're going to die. Basically, that's what they're saying. But if your name is found in the in-between book between those 10 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then you have a chance to make it right. Now, if you think about this is really interesting because we believe that Rosh Hashanah is celebrated as the Feast of Trumpets, which represents the rapture of the church. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, or the judgment of God. But there's that in-between state between the rapture of the church and the judgment of God that we call what? The 7 years of tribulation. There will be an opportunity for people to make it right. Maybe not so much with a confession of salvation, but maybe so much with their works. If they do not accept the mark of the beast, they will what? They will what? They will be accepted into the kingdom of heaven. They will be considered martyrs for the Lord. So we can see that when you look at these 3 books, according to the 10 days of awe or the 10 days of repentance, that there's this opportunity for people by their works to make the next year a good year. I wonder how many believers are trying to make the next year a good year by their works. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power. It's by my spirit. It's not by works that you are saved. It's by grace. For by grace are you saved, Ephesians tells us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's what? It's a gift of God. So we see this 10 days of repentance as an opportunity for people to make it right for the next year. There's a Hebrew word, it's called teshuvah. I don't know if I have that up there, baby. Teshuvah. It is an opportunity for change. You know, friends, there's a lot of people that need to change, right? There's a lot of Christians that need to change. Or a lot of so-called Christians, maybe we can say. Or a lot of church people. But I'll be honest, even Christians, we need to change. I need to change. God's still working on me. And we can see that Rosh Hashanah, it functions for those people that are, yes, in the book of life, those that are the completely wicked, but also for the majority of people who are in the in-between. It's almost like a trial period that's been extended to them. It's an unusual trial, one writer said, because most trials are intended to determine responsibility for past deeds. But this trial, however, has an added dimension because it determines what can be done about future deeds. You know, friends, we have that opportunity to secure our future in Jesus Christ. It is through salvation. Amen. We have an opportunity to confess with our mouth, believe in the Lord with our heart. Now we're saved, right? That is what? That is what? That is saying, Lord, I choose to trust you with my future. I choose to live for you, not only now, but for all eternity. It's almost like an attitude of the mind and an attitude of the heart, where we rectify ourselves by changing ourselves. And friends, God wants us to be like him, doesn't he? That takes change. That took a moment in time where you had to confess your sins and had to run to him in repentance and seek his face. You know, maybe the Jewish people don't fully understand how closer to salvation that is than they realize. That they are seeking to find a place to eternal life by being good. Jesus came to give us a free gift of salvation. Now, I want to give you here for just a minute. I guess I'll have a little help here for a minute. Matt, there's a slide there. It's a picture of this letter that we recognize as the hey. And I shared this with you last week. This is the Hebrew gematria. This is the Hebrew letter, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Hey, H-E-I, hey, and it stands for grace. But it also stands, maybe we can put up this next picture real quick, Matt, if you don't mind. It also stands for a picture, as some believe, it looks like a window. You know, last week I told you that the pictogram for this hey letter is a man with his hands raised, praise and worship and honoring God. But the picture itself looks like a window with a way out. You know, the devil is trying to get us to sin, right? He's trying to get us to fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. But we know that Jesus Christ committed his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You know, sin is something that lurks in all of us, in all of our doorsteps. But how many of you are thankful that God made a way out?
Amen.
Amen. He made a way out to confess and believe and to live. And could it be that these 10 days of awe, these 10 days of teshuva, repentance, meant a way out for those believers, or those Jewish people, I should say, that were straddling the fence? Those that didn't know if they were completely righteous or didn't know if they were completely wicked. They were this in-between group of people. Matter of fact, there's another slide that kind of gives you, man, this picture of the different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And you have to understand, the Hebrew to Israel goes from right to left. So the Aleph, the Bet, the Gimel, the Dot, the Dalet. The Dalet was last year. It was number 4. It represented the door. Last year was the year of the door, the open door. We are in the 80s, which is the decade of the pain. We spoke the door open. We spoke things through the door. But this year, we are looking at the hay. Next year will be the ba. But this year, the hay, where we behold, where we reveal, where we breathe, where we praise and worship God, but also where we have an opportunity to make a difference and a change, a way out. So if last year was the open door, this year is the year of the open window. There's another slide of a quote that you've probably heard this before, that when God closes a door, he does what? He opens a window. Now, I don't know if that happens every time, but I believe that God has a way for us, friends. A window is a way out. Anybody ever climbed out their window when they were younger to get out? Come on now. Probably all of us have tried to, or maybe we tried to climb through a window to get back in. Oh, man, I'm not going to tell my stories. But I'm sure we've all done those things where maybe there were things that were going on in our house. We were looking for a way out. Dad was fixing to discipline us, or mom was upset at us, and so we were looking for a way out of that situation. Friends, I'm glad I have a way out today through Jesus Christ. I'm glad I have a way out through the grace of the Lord. But this is the year of grace. Amen. You know what grace does? Grace provides us a way out. Amen. Grace provides us an opportunity to seek God and to come before Him. Amen. And to receive the mercy that we need, even though we don't deserve it. You know, Daniel chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Remember, this is Daniel. You know, when this, well, if you just look, you see when the administrators and the high officials went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius." So they said, this was a setup for Daniel. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. He said, give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, this was a setup, will be thrown into what? The den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue a sign to this law so it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius, I know, he wasn't thinking about Daniel at this moment. He was thankful that people wanted to worship him, right? People wanted to exalt him. But when Daniel, look what Daniel did, this man of God, when he learned that the law had been signed, what did he do? He ran for the hills. He went and hid in the cave. No, he went home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. You know, it is said that if they would pray out their window towards Jerusalem, God would hear their prayers. And he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. You know, I almost think that he wasn't praying some quiet, you know, bow me down and lay me down and, you know, all these kind of soft prayers. I just feel like that he was calling on the Lord with just the uttermost essence of his heart and his mouth. He was speaking forth because they saw this. Those administrators and high officers who set them up, they saw this and they reported it to the king. You know, there's something powerful about a window. Windows let in sunlight. I'm glad we have an open window today so we can have some sun here. Look, I don't like a dark room all the time. I mean, maybe if I'm sleeping, but I like sunlight, don't you? There's something good about the sun shining down on us. I love to see out. A window provides us vision. It provides an opportunity for us to see past what's in front of us and to see out into our future, friends. A window is important for the believer, I believe. It's important for people as a whole. But you see, Daniel understood that there was something powerful about praying out the window towards Jerusalem. Friends, I can tell you today that God makes a way when there seems to be no way. You know, that lion's den wasn't nothing for the Lord, was it? You know, the lions is just another one of his creation, right? So he had the power to close the mouths of the lion. You know, you can look all through Scripture and you can see where God made a way where there seemed to be no way. You know, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, God parted the Red Sea. There seemed to be no way. They seemed to be trapped between two sides in a sea. But God made a way. With the Egyptians coming behind him, friends, God will always make a way. I believe that. How about Joshua when he was getting ready to cross the Jordan River? That was in flood season. That was overflowing its base. But yet God made a way. And when the priest stepped out carrying the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River, the water backed up all the way to the city of Adam. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. How about Gideon? He considered himself the least of his family. Amen. With only 300 men, God gave him victory over a mighty Midianite army because God is a God who makes a way where there seems to be no way. Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, friends, come on. Amen. God has a way of providing our needs when there seems to be no other way to provide our needs. Just give me what's left. Amen. Give me a little cake. Give me a cup of water. Friends, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Because God is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. Amen. That's who our God is. God always provides a way out. And if he doesn't, it's because God has a better way. You see, friends, God sees things we can't see. God understands all things. Friends, we haven't been lost on some foreign way. I believe we are in God's way. And God is making a way out for us. I want to give you 3 things today that God provides a way out for. And here's number one. God provides a way out of sin. You know how he does that? Through repentance. Right? through repentance. You remember when Solomon created that great temple for the Lord? David wanted to, but he had too much blood on his hands. So he said, your son will do it for you and for me. And it's not that anybody can make a place for the Lord to dwell in, but Solomon had made this beautiful palace and made this beautiful temple and all the things that he had desired in his heart to do. And if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 8, you can see Solomon's dedication prayer and his prayer for the temple and for all the things that he had made. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God responds to Solomon and to his prayer. And in verse 11 it says, so Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, this is the Lord talking to Solomon, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. But look what he said. You know this scripture. But then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will what? Hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and restore their land. And my eyes will be open, my ears will be attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple, set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. Friends, can I tell you that God makes provision for your sins? He said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from what? That's repentance. You know what repentance means? Repentance means to turn around. Go the other direction. Amen. If you're heading towards sin, turn around. Go back. Run to God. But turn from your wicked way. He said what? He would hear from heaven and would give them punishment. He said, no, he forgives their sins. I'm so thankful that God's forgiven me of my sins. I'm so thankful that every time I come to the cross of Christ, every time I kneel before the Lord, I pray with a sincere heart. If I've done something wrong, he hears me, forgives me. You see, he knew the children of Israel would mess up. He knew that they would turn their backs and go into idolatry. He knew every wicked thing that they would do and every wicked idol they would set up in the country and how they would even sacrifice their own children. He knew all these things are going to happen. But he said, even if they do these things, if they'll turn back to me, if they'll turn to me, confess, repent, I'll heal them. I'll hear them and I'll forgive them and heal their land. That's the kind of God we serve, friends. I'm thankful that God's forgiven you your sins. You know what forgiveness of sins does? It brings us freedom, doesn't it? It brings us freedom to worship, freedom to live for God, freedom to honor God, freedom to serve God and work for God. And friends, I'm just so thankful that God's given us this opportunity. And this is what this 10 days of all was for the children of Israel. It was an opportunity for them to repent of their sins by doing good works. That's how they foresaw that. They could repair their sin by doing good and secure their name for a year. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to secure my name for this year. I want to secure my name for eternity. I want to know that my name's written in the last book of life, don't you? I want to know that heaven is my home. Amen. This earth is just a stopping place. I'm just a passing through. God has prepared something better for me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us. Look what he said. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, it's not my job to pray for people to perish. My job is to pray for their salvation. If they're wicked, you know what? God still loves them because he made them. If they choose not to accept that salvation, then that's between them and the Lord, right? But my job is to pray that people would come to a saving relationship because the scripture says he doesn't want anybody to perish. Could it be that God's giving us more time to allow more people to come into the kingdom of God through salvation? But you know, the devil wants to stop people by causing them to sin. Maybe there's some here today you're dealing with sin. And maybe it hasn't separated you, but it will if you don't stop it. You know, the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to condemn you. Actually, he wants to condemn you for sins you committed in the past that have already been put under the blood. He wants to remind you of things that are wrong in your life from years ago that God's already saved you from. That's his job, to condemn people. But God wants you to have a freedom to know that you're under the blood and that you've been forgiven and that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Can I just encourage you, friends? Don't stay here and find out what the tribulation is going to look like. It won't be worth it. You don't really understand how hard it's going to be. I don't even understand how hard it's going to be to try to survive in those period of time. Make sure you know heaven is your home. God's given us 10 days maybe in this sense to understand, but friends, we have every day we can come to Jesus in repentance. And here's the second thing God provides a way out of. Not just sin, but he provides a way out of temptation. Temptation. There's that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. It says, Paul says this to the church of Corinth. He says in verse 12, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Is that scripture up there? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, did I get it up there? If you think you are standing strong, there it is, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Here's the beautiful part. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. You see, what did God do? God provided, the New King James says, a way of escape. God provided a way out. Amen. So that you don't have to be overcome with temptation. Can I tell you, friends, it doesn't mean you won't be tempted. We are all tempted. Amen. The devil tests us at all times and tries. But we don't have to be overcome by temptation. Can I tell you, temptation isn't the sin. The sin is when you what? You give in to temptation. When you let temptation overcome you. Barclay, in his commentary, says that the word for a way of escape is really a mountain pass. A way out is a mountain pass with the ideal of an army being surrounded by the enemy and then suddenly seeing an escape route to safety. Like a mountain pass, the way of escape isn't necessarily an easy way. You know, sometimes it's not easy, is it, friends, to follow the Lord. But God will make a way for us where there seems to be no way. You see, the way of escape does not lead us to a place where we escape all temptation, but it leads us to the place where we can bear it. We can bear it. You see, the enemy wants you to give in to temptation. That's why he wanted the Jews. He wanted them to give in to temptation. He wanted them to commit idolatry and wickedness. He wanted them to turn their backs on the one true God that led them out of Egypt and provided for them into the promised land. He wanted them to deny their relationship with him by tempting them. By tempting them with the idolatry of other nations. By tempting them with all the wickedness and all the perversions of other nations. But God wanted to provide a way out for them. And he did. Through prayer, and ultimately through the giving of his son, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God gives me opportunities to run to him when I'm tempted. Come on, anybody, if you're being tempted today, just know it's not unusual. You're not different than anybody else. And probably the temptation you're dealing with is something that somebody else has dealt with, probably in this room. But I can tell you today, friends, that if you're being tempted, God has made a way out for you out of that temptation. Seek the Lord. There's a window. For the Jewish people, there was just a small 10-day window of time that they could make amends for their sins. It was just a short period of time. I'm glad that God's grace extends for all eternity, but also for all of our lives here on earth. But don't wait till the last moment to try to make it right, because you never know when that moment will be, right? But just know that God's made a way out for you. And let me give you one more today. God provides a way out of sin, out of temptation, but he also provides a way out of lack and defeat. Lack and defeat. And I know we talk about lack, and I'm going to read a scripture out of Malachi. You know, most of the time we think of money, but lack isn't money necessarily. It's a lot of different things that you can have in your life or not have in your life that you need resources for. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 15 says, I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you, descendants of Jacob, are not already destroyed. For ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and you have failed to obey them. But look what he says. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? This is what the Lord said. But yeah, you cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? The Lord says, you have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open, what did he say? I'll open the windows of heaven for you. And I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. I like this. Try it. Put it to the test. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Call unto me. Call unto me. Bring to me. Bring to me what's mine. You know, God wants to bless his people. Maybe financially, but most of all spiritually, with eternal life. God didn't want the names of the wicked to be in the book of wickedness. He wanted them to change. God wanted the people to become completely righteous. Well, for them, that means they had to obey every 613 laws, which would have been difficult. Because nobody, not even the high priest could obey 613 laws. But God wanted them to know that he loved them and he cared for them. And that if they would trust him, God would supply their every need. You know, he said, put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Yeah, you know, maybe he's speaking in agricultural terms, because, you know, this was common. In the Middle East, it was common, very common, for there to be famine and there to be disease and there to be insects and bugs like locusts that would destroy their crops. But he said, if you don't trust me with what you have, bring your offerings to me, bring your tithes. And for them, tithes wasn't necessarily money. It could have been their crops, bring in the first fruits of their harvest. But he said, if you'll bring me what's mine, I will keep that and I will keep you from lacking any good thing. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms. I'm going to finish up with this. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us what? Grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. You know, friends, the challenge for us this year is that, are we going to trust God with all that we have? Are we going to trust God with our heart? Are we going to trust God with our mind? Are we going to trust God with our time? Are we going to trust God with our works and our service? Are we going to trust God with our offerings and our tithes? Are we going to trust God with a building? Are we going to trust God when we get back in the new building with that building? Or are we just going to fall into an every Sunday routine where we come to church and we go home? We come to church and we go home. Are we going to believe that God's going to do something supernatural in that? Are we going to trust God to use that building that he's giving us for his glory? I really feel like there's a shift that's taking place. I really do. And I can't explain it. And I know we're in this these fall feast of the Lord, but I believe that God speaks to us during this feast. Maybe some of you today are at a place where the devil's really been tempting you. Or maybe you're watching today for sure, and the devil's been tempting you. Or maybe there's sin in your life. And it's not a terrible sin. Well, that's good. But you know, one sin is just as bad as the other. But if there's a sin in your heart, then this is the moment God says, trust me. Turn your heart to me. Come to me. I'll give you a way out. And I've already made a way out for you through my son, Jesus Christ. If you're battling with something, this is your opportunity. if you're lacking things today, if you're lacking in your health, if you're lacking in your mind peace, if you're lacking joy, or if you're lacking financially, friends, all I can say is just obey God. It's not me you're obeying, it's God you obey. But when you obey God, and when you give God your first fruits, and when you trust God with your life, and you turn your heart to God, He'll make a way out for you. I didn't say He'll make you rich. That's not what I'm saying. But God will provide for you. You'll just trust Him. Trust Him with what you have. Trust Him with what He's commanded you to give Him. Trust Him with your time. Trust Him with your worship. Just trust Him with your heart. I believe these 10 days of all are just very strategic times for the Lord to speak to people specifically, but He'll speak to us all year long. I think that God's prepared us for what's fixing to come. What's fixing to come? God's moving, friends. God's moving in His church. Even though you don't see it yet. I can tell you this story right now. But I'm not going to tell you this story. I just don't feel like it's the appropriate time to do that. But God's moving. Ways that we didn't even know. Got a way for us. A way of escape. I want you to bow your heads with me today. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am the goodness of God. Has God been good to you? Maybe you can remember those moments where you knelt at an altar, or made an altar at your bed, or at your chair, or at a dining table, or maybe under a tree somewhere outside, or maybe it was at an altar in a church. But maybe you remember those times when you knelt down at an altar somewhere and you confessed your sins to the Lord. And you felt that cleansing flood of His blood and His love come over you and wash you white as snow. Maybe you remember those moments where you fallen short and you just had come back to Him and you just knelt before Him again and said, Lord, I've messed up. Forgive me again. And He does. He does. Because His grace is amazing. Because He's made a way out through the blood of His Son. Maybe there's time for you being tempted. The devil's trying to get you to do something you knew you shouldn't do. And maybe you failed. Maybe you slipped and did it anyway. But God says, if you'll come to me, I'll make a way of escape for you. So that next time you don't have to do that. Maybe there's been moments where you've been lacking. You felt defeated. You felt like the devourer has just taken everything that you've worked so hard for, your crops, your health, your finances. He's robbed your family. He's robbed the joy that God gave you years ago, and you just feel like that it's just a battle just to stay victorious, and you feel so defeated. But God says, I'll make a way out for you. If you just call on me, I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out a blessing on you. Come on, friends. Bring your offerings to Him. Give God what's God's. God said, if you'll give me what's mine, I'm going to give you blessings out of heaven. Out of my storehouse. I'm going to pour it out on you, says the Lord. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will
moment. Don't mess with what I didn't plan. Would you just, if there's something that you're struggling with, if there's sin, if there's temptation, or if there's lack, defeated mentality, you feel so defeated, would you just right now just open up your spiritual window and call up unto the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm tired of messing up. I'm tired of dealing with these battles of the enemy. I'm tired of feeling defeated and without, and I need you to come to my rescue, Lord. Lord, you are a God who hears and answers prayer, and I just turn to you, and I look to you, no matter what's happening around me, no matter what the situations are going on in our nation, in my family, I just call on you right now, Lord, and I say, Lord, hear my cries. Lord, make a way of escape for me, Lord. Make a way out. Lord, make a way out right now so that I can live in victory. Lord, I just received that way out you made through your Son, the sacrifice, the offering, all the promises of your word. Come on, if that's you, just take it to him right now. Just give him a moment. He knows your heart. He knows your heart.